So welcome to our message series today called Being Who God Created You to Be. I'm so glad that each of you are here today and online. Those at Traverse Care Center, again, welcome. And again, let's give a hand clap to those at Traverse Care so they know we're here. So they'll be watching this possibly throughout this week. And all you are online, great to have you here. So this is more than a feel-good message series. We are actually taking practical steps to discover how to live into being all God has made you to be, all that you are created to be. And this is the last message in the series. It's the end message because I think it brings all these together in one big step. So are you ready for it? Are you set? Ready, set, go. There it is. That's it. That's the message. Go. As we step into this last message today, we recognize that there is one thing left to do, and that is simply to go. My youngest sister, she is a thoroughbred racehorse trainer. She was a jockey for quite a few years, and she rode horses around the track as fast as they could go. You know, she's just this little thing and just riding these horses around the track. It's amazing. But she described how it is important to get good positioning on the track in the middle of the race. She said you want to not be on the inside rail, but maybe one off, so that when you come to the corners, you can hug the rail, but you don't want to get pushed up against it. And you don't want to get pushed to the outside, especially when you're coming into the turns, because if you're on the outside, you get pushed further out and you have farther to go. So she said positioning on the track is so important. She said, then if you're in the right position on the home stretch, when the horse is ready, when you know it's time, you can break out and head for the finish. So all that training and endurance of the horse and all the skill and positioning that the jockey can muster, none of this is going to make any difference if one thing doesn't happen. One thing. And that one thing is at the very beginning of the race. The horse has to learn to go, right? The way it works is there's a jockey gate, they call it, or a gate that's pulled out onto the track, and it has little stalls, and each horse is loaded into a stall. And when they all get in there, when they all get ready, then the sound goes off, and the doors swing open, all at the same time, simultaneously. And at that point, the horse has to go. It has to charge out of the gate without hesitation, without stalling, without a moment's delay. She said, if that mighty, powerful horse doesn't learn that first step, you know, if they're in the gate bucking and not paying attention, if they're fighting, then when the gate opens, they won't burst out on that full charge. And the horse and the rider will rarely, if ever, get positioned down the track in order to break out in the home stretch. They have to get the go. They got to get the go if they ever want to become the racehorse and the rider that they're made to be. And I think it's the same for you and I today. We got to get the go, right? We got to get the go if we're going to really live into the full potential we have as followers of Jesus. And here's the shocking truth. Some of us just don't get the go, right? We don't get the go. And we have never experienced that big breakout of being a follower of Jesus. So here's what we're going to do today. Today, we're going to get the go and be all that God has made us to be. So if you're new with us today, I'm going to walk us through the first three steps in being all you're made to be. If you're new to the idea of being a follower of Jesus, if you're joining us online for the first time, then I want you to seriously consider this first step and putting it into action for being all that you're made to be. The first step is seeking God. And did you know that we are called, all of us are called into a vibrant, Christ-centered relationship with the Creator of the world? That's amazing. God knows you. God made you. And God has fashioned you for a purpose and for meaning in your life. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. And God calls you into that new life that Jesus describes like this. He says, whoever believes in me, springs of living water will flow from within. You know, this welling up of life like we've never known before. Being who God made us to be starts right there in that relationship. As a born again, saved and forgiven, bondage breaking, set free follower of Jesus, Holy Spirit-filled son and daughter of the living God. That's who we are called to be. An heir to eternal life and an inheritor that of an inheritance that never perishes or spoils or fades, that's kept in heaven for you. You know, this really is not about being a card-holding member of a Christian organization. I mean, that Jesus never intended that for his church. We're talking about a life transforming walk with the Son of God that reorients everything in our lives. It transforms our thinking. It shapes our behavior. It fills us with joy and awe and hope and wonder and purpose and an absolute being a lover of God and a lover of people. It's a love that overflows in our life when we have this relationship because God continues to pour his love into us and we can't help but let it flow over into the world around us and loving people and sharing the good news of the gospel and serving like Jesus serves. So some of you listening today, this is where we need to begin, right here, seeking God, starting today. So that's step one. A relationship with Jesus. Step two follows after step one, and it is to know your calling, to know who we are as a believer. You see, we are equipped as followers with specific gifts to find our fit and flourish in the life of the church, in the community of faith. So we can apply this today, if we haven't already, by going to our website at bethcov.org and going in and clicking on the resources page and taking a spiritual gift survey. It's one way of helping us to identify and understand who God has made us to be, who he has called us to, how he has equipped us to. If you're wondering, what's my calling in life? What's my purpose? Well, part of discovering that is knowing how God has equipped you for that purpose. So I invite you, if you haven't, to go ahead and do that and then begin to put that gift into practice. So for all of us who have taken it, just take that next step of serving with our gift to build the church, to find our fit, to begin to flourish, to have that maximum fulfillment with minimum frustration. So that's step one, seek God. Step two, know your calling. And step three is to have a clear vision. Without a vision, people perish. The church has a vision to be a vibrant, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. Now, that vision is for our time today. You know, we are starving in this pandemic era for community. So many people just are hungry to know that relationship. And the church does it better than anyone. Followers of Jesus know how to be community, how to love one another, and how to live together, serving and caring. So we are called to be the church in the world. And you are part of that vision. I'm part of that vision. We are the church, the followers who make followers of Jesus. So I want us to really get this down. I want to repeat these first three steps. So repeat after me. I am called. I am equipped. I have vision. And these all come together in the last step that God has made us to be this, to go. Say go. Somebody give me a go. Go. We got to get the go. So our final step is Jesus' command to truly become all he has made us to be by going and being a disciple maker. So here's where we go to the Bible. This is where we kind of dig in into the scripture. And I want to give a little shameless plug for a YouVersion Bible app. Pastor Greg and I, we think this is great, this YouVersion Bible app. So if you haven't downloaded it on your phone, go ahead, take out your phone, take my picture quick. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead and download it on your phone or take out your phone and open up to the app. We're going to go to Matthew, the last chapter, chapter 28. If you have your Bible with you, Matthew, last chapter, 28. And we're going to dig in to see what Scripture says about getting our goal. So as the gospel comes to a close, the disciples have just encountered the risen Jesus. So he was killed, he was buried, His disciples experienced all of that. They were despondent, heartbroken. They had no idea what was going on. And then all of a sudden, the news that Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave. And now he meets with his disciples. And they are in complete awe and wonder. So starting in verse 16, it says, the 11 disciples left for Galilee. So it's 12 minus 1, right? Judas is left. And going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So let's back up here just a minute and look at this reaction of the disciples as they meet the risen Jesus. Their response is two things. One is worship and mixed with a little bit of doubt. You know, I totally get that. I get that. You know, seeing Jesus, you know, they worship him because of who he is. Because he was dead and he's alive. Because everything that he has told them about himself, they now know is true. And so they worship him. And yet it's mixed with a little bit of doubt. It's like, how can it be? You know, they're filled with worship and wonder. You know, I think this wonder kind of like, I don't understand. And I think this is key for us as followers of Jesus. We are never going to fully understand the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. It is just mind-blowing. It's so far beyond us. And yet, in that wonder, we know he's worthy of worship. And so we worship in awe and wonder. It's a good place to be. Worship and wonder. You know, if we knew everything about God, God wouldn't be God. God is unknowable in our humanity, and yet Jesus has become the visible representation of Christ. So in knowing Jesus, he says, you know the Father. So in worshiping Jesus, we recognize we are worshiping God, awe and wonder. So we get this. We simply are called not to understand everything, but to go. To follow Jesus, to follow his command. And so we got to get the go. So we understand this next passage. Jesus came to told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go. Say go. Go and make disciples of all nations. So there it is. We're commissioned to be disciple makers. So I'm going to ask us to think about this for a moment. It's going to take a little focus. I'm confident that we can do this, right? These are important things sometimes to get this deeper obedience. I was about to say understanding, but this deeper obedience that actually leads us into connecting to our calling. It's the authority thing that Jesus mentions. It's actually important. Jesus says all authority is his. On heaven, on earth, all authority is given by God the Father. So we need to follow this new reality. So everything God has revealed and promised throughout Scripture and the whole Bible, it finds its fulfillment in Jesus. This is God's Messiah, God's Son. That blessing of Abraham that God said he called him and he's going to use Abraham to be a blessing to the whole world, it is fulfilled now in the Messiah, the Son of David, the heir of Abraham, who is now fulfilling all of God's promises. So John revealed that Jesus is the Lamb of God who has sacrificed for our sins. Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. And anyone who believes in him, even though they die, will live. Amazing. Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. He revealed that his word will never pass away because he is the living word of God. He was vindicated by rising from the grave, and he reveals that what he has taught is true. And now all authority in all of heaven and all of earth over everything is his. And he commissions us to go. So that's the mission of the disciples. Go make disciples. And here's the thing. Here's what this all means. They can be confident that when they take that step to go, that they are not alone. That Jesus is at work in their lives to accomplish their purpose. They don't have to know all the details. They don't have to know everything. All they have to do is be obedient and go and trust that God is going to accomplish his good purpose in making followers of Jesus. See, we gotta get the go. We're duplicators. You're a duplicator. I'm a duplicator. Somebody say, I'm a duplicator. Try that again. That's right. I'm a duplicator. I'm a duplicator. That's who I am, a disciple maker. There's no out on this one. We are all called to step into this, to go. It's a God-given, Christ-commissioned command to make followers of Jesus. So this truly is the final step that brings together all of being who God made us to be. So remember last week we learned that the church is the hope of the world. That means that as the church, as followers of Jesus, we're the church. That means you are the hope of the world. And we are the hope of the world as we make followers who make followers of Jesus, as we bring others to Christ. So Jesus, he commissions us saying, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. See this? This baptizing, this teaching, they're all aspects of disciple making. So when we tell people the gospel and they become a follower by turning to God and repentance and faith, baptism is the response to that faith, right? And then the teaching of the word is passing on everything Jesus has commanded us to obey. And when we teach what Jesus taught, then the next generation learns what Jesus taught. They can follow and obey by faith and teach the next generation what has learned and been taught and can follow by faith and teach the next generation. So we're beginning to understand our role in this disciple making, to go. We've got to get the go. So Jesus tells us to make disciples, right? What to do. He tells us where to do it. All over the world. He tells us the parts to include: sharing the good news, baptizing, teaching all of Jesus' words. So we get the go. But if you're like me today, in the middle of all the upheaval and things that have been going on, I've lost some momentum in my disciple making. Maybe you have too. I think even as a church, we've lost some momentum, you know, and it's understandable possibly. You know, there's so many things to think about. There's things to get caught up in. There's just trying to make things work and trying to keep the church going and trying to do the things that we need to do, the very critical things, just to keep moving forward, right? We get caught up in that. We've gotten caught up in that. I've gotten caught up in that. But in the process, what I've seen is I have lost my focus on the one thing, the goal, the priority of making followers who make followers of Jesus. As I was thinking about this message and preparing it, I realized that I haven't actually seen that new disciple-making happen through my life. I mean, I've heard a little bit about it. I've seen people grow. People have told me that, you know, the things that are happening in their lives in this season, and they're all good things. But the momentum in disciple-making has diminished in my life, maybe yours too. You see, we gotta get the go. Everything else is secondary. As a matter of fact, if we are losing our disciple-making, our go, then we are actually putting the church at greater risk of decline. Because that's who we are. We are followers of Jesus, making followers of Jesus. So we need a recommitment as the church to focus on what Jesus has commissioned us to do. Make disciples. So how are we doing it? Well, that's the challenging part, right? And it's the freeing part. It's the challenging part and the freeing part. Jesus told us what to do, make disciples. He told us where to do it all over the world. What he didn't tell us is how to do it. And I think that was intentional. See, Jesus has all authority. He gave us authority to make disciples. He didn't say, here's how you got to do it, step by step. And it frees us as the church, as followers of Jesus, to use our God-given gifts and abilities to figure that out in our current context, to go and make disciples however God has called us to go and make disciples. See, we want to be a church that does what other people aren't doing in order to reach people who aren't being reached by the good news of the gospel. We have to be willing to step out of the box and step out of the forms and do the things that others aren't doing to reach the people that haven't been reached. That's the freeing part of being a disciple maker. Now, certainly, we share the good news. Certainly, we love people. But how we do that, we have the freedom to go wherever God leads us by the Spirit. He's given us the authority to figure it out. So the message is the same. We're sinners, separated from God, who find forgiveness and inclusion in the family of God and new life in Jesus. The method, that's what we figure out. But the good news is we have assurance that no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter how we go about it, God is at work in our lives. Jesus said, "Teach new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here's what we're doing. We're committed to going beyond good intentions and taking action to engage making followers of Jesus. And this series is about being all who God made us to be. So I'm going to just walk through it one more time. We begin with seeking God. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not be overcome in our feelings that our life has lost meaning or feeling that we really don't make a difference. We got to get the go. When we pursue with passion, we begin to recognize and take hold of the calling, which is the second step. We no longer settle for a vague sense of who God has equipped or called us to be. We are duplicators. We are disciple makers. We are who God has called and equipped us to be. And we're committed to taking a hold of those spiritual gifts and putting them into practice. And then we're ready for step three, a clear and compelling vision that not only moves us forward, but also draws others into what God is doing in the church. We are a life-filled, Christ-centered community connecting all generations to Jesus. And we're going to stay hungry for this God-captured vision. And we are going to be the hope in the world and the light in the darkness. So we're people impacting real lives for Jesus. And finally, we get the go. We are commissioned disciple makers. So we are the church that leads more and more people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus who make followers of Jesus. And we do it by bringing our world to Christ. So hopefully you got a little handout in the today as you walked in. Does anybody have, hold this up if you have one. I want to see how many actually have one here. Okay, we have some. There should be maybe some in the back as you walk out. I'm going to invite you to take the first step, which is to think about people that you would like to see come to faith in Jesus. People you know who may be far away from God or who are maybe taking steps to know Jesus, but who you want to see take that next step. And I want to invite you to commit to praying for them. This is called Bless, and it gives us steps in bringing our world to Christ. So it begins with prayer. B, L is listen with care. Eat or experience together. So sometimes that's a little hard to do, but, you know, meet together. Serve with love and share your story. Share how God has worked in your life, where you were before Christ and where you are now after Christ. So commit to one or two people to begin praying for this week. And trust and ask God how he will use you to bring them one step closer to Jesus. So I invite you, if you even want to fill this out now before you leave and drop it in the offering box, you can split it in half and put half of it into the offering box. And we as a staff will commit to praying for these, and they will go on as well to the conference and the denomination, praying for these names. Also, if you want to do this digitally online, you can go ahead to the address here, and you can fill one of these out online, and that'll go in and be continually prayed for. And I think you can also print off your own copy so that you can be doing this. Now, it's kind of interesting, but we've been doing this as a church for ever since I've been come, so at least 15 years. And I have a list of the various people that I've been praying for over those 15 years. And when I bring those out and pray for them, and which isn't all the time, but especially the older ones, but when I review them, I mean, the impact is incredible. It's incredible. It's both encouraging and a stark reality. You know, some of the people, including my sister, have died since then. And I don't know the outcome of my prayers on some of those. Others, I'm still praying for, still hoping that they find Jesus and that I can continue to encourage them in that way. And some have taken that step of faith and have stepped into that new life. And I have begun to see some amazing things of how God is at work. You know, who would have wondered that 15 years ago, beginning to pray for someone would result in seeing the kind of transformation that can take place It is truly amazing, and it begins with one first step. It's like that racehorse. He can be the fastest. He can be in the best position. But if he doesn't get out of the gate, he's never going to win the race. You and I, we got to get the go. That's how we be all that God has made us to be. So, Lord, thank you for calling us into this new life. And thank you, Lord, for calling us to be followers, making followers of Jesus. You know, as we read through the scriptures, Lord, as we recognize your call, this isn't just a good slogan for the church. This is the mission. This is the center of who you have called us to be, followers making followers. So, Lord, help us to step into our calling. Equip your church. Lord, accomplish in us what you have sent us to do, and that is making followers who know you, who love you, who serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.